good morning. Today is Monday, October the 3rd. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Good morning.
Sorry about the Chargers yesterday.
Oh, they're awful. They're just plain awful.
Yeah, but Breeze did well.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah, coming back home. Yeah, I thought you'd...
I didn't get to see it.
Oh, darn. Yeah. You probably missed the Raider game then, too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an exciting one.
I actually didn't watch any football yesterday, which is unusual for me.
Baseball?
Oh, never.
Didn't watch the Giants clinch then either, huh?
No.
You know, you're really trying to work your way right out on that island, aren't you?
I'm just not a big baseball guy.
Okay. I'm not even going to ask about basketball.
Steph Curry is the man.
Yeah. Oh, good. He pulls one name out of the air.
Who doesn't know Steph, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, actually, I like the Golden State Warriors.
Really? Is this a front runner thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as Durant, I'm there, baby. I'm there.
Well, I look at it this way. If you're a pro team, you get supported because you're good, not because you're a pro.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't win, what's the purpose?
Right, exactly. Okay. You ready for your quote?
Oh, yeah.
You can identify with this one, I'm sure. Jacob Bronowski, quote, "All information is imperfect." Apparently so. So what's keeping you awake at night these days?
I'm sleeping pretty well these days.
How come?
Sleep aid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Other than drugs that you wouldn't want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think we're at a good spot right now. I think that we're working really hard. The organization, we're 3 years in almost, is moving forward. I think we've got the picture of where we want to be. Now it's executing to get there.
The culture has shifted. Everybody's on board?
Culture has shifted. Most people are on board. Can't say everybody because there's a lot of diverse opinions and a lot of diverse needs, and that's fine. Because it's a, you know, any organization, you have a lot of people that see things maybe a little bit differently. But overall, I think that we've made a very good turn towards working with the community and seeing that our authority is derived from the power of the community. And so I think we're starting to get it as an organization.
Do you measure your department against yourself? Against your image or against other police departments in the country?
Neither.
No, there were three. You can't say neither. You can say none of the above. Neither is a two.
I measure our department against the expectations of this community. So what does the community expect of us? This is police department belongs to this community. And so I measure it against that.
That's pretty ethereal, isn't it?
I think it's pretty accurate.
Well, I mean, ideally, sure.
Yeah.
But with the transitions that our community has, even just with the influx of college.
Sure.
Summertime's totally different than wintertime.
True.
Okay.
We'll get to it because I see the numbers coming down here.
Oh, good, good. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, the community standard is certainly something that changes over time.
Sure.
Is this as fluid as what some of us with weak memories believe? Because we just compressed the last 30 years and the last 3 years and wonder,
yeah,
holy Toledo, versus some of the different steps and different changes that, that have going on. I mean, you just look at Eureka, what percentage is owner-occupied versus rental properties today versus 40 years ago? I bet you quadrupled the number of rentals.
Well, there's a lot of things that change over time, and some good, some bad. So we just did our department-wide meeting to talk about leadership. So we laid out our leadership plan.
Oh, that's why all the cars were around the building?
Yes, the working area.
And, I drove by on Friday, and it's like, holy cow!
it's a police convention.
Yeah, that or a barbecue, one or the other. Well, I couldn't figure it out.
Well, it wasn't a donut shop, that's all we know. One of the things we talked about is the history of Eureka, because a lot of our young guys and gals don't have this long-term history of Eureka. So I sat down and did the research. Of course, the new guy is going to give the history of Eureka. But I did the research, reaching back and sitting down talking to some guys who have been here for a long time, and was able to say, look, here's Eureka, all the way from the sawmill riots in the 30s to where five were beaten badly and three people shot and killed all the way back, and then the recent history as well, so that they had a context to put this community in, because I do think that's important, and we talked about it. So it does change, and policies change, and policing changes in the meantime. I mean, policing is going through a revolution right now, so we want to stay in front of those issues and those waves and those changes, but at the same time, hold to the community standard as much as possible. That's why we did this survey, this massive survey of, and then two different focus groups here in town, to try to get input from the community. You know, what do you want and expect of your police department? And once we identify that, it's our mission to execute it.
Isn't there a balancing of the financial realities of life? I mean, I could say whatever I want, but you know, if it's totally unaffordable, it's kind of like just wasting time.
Well, it's not wasting time, but it's, you have to look at what's affordable and what's not, because you're right, there is a fiscal reality to everything that we do. And one of the things, we identify two top crime goals for this upcoming couple of years. First one is, the community told us loud and clear that burglaries, residential burglaries, is their top priority. And so we are going to do everything we can to get in the way of burglars.
And residential burglary is defined as?
Breaking into someone's home to commit a theft or any other crime. Okay, not breaking in. You just enter somebody else's home. I mean, you leave a window open, it's still a burglary.
Right.
And then the second one is gun violence. Now, we're doing a great job on gun violence. We've gotten a lot of guns off the street. And over the past several months, my wall is filled with pictures of guns. So you take a look at that, and we told our officers and our sergeants, I'm not going to tell you how to police. You figure it out. You want to do a special project where you're riding around bicycles at nighttime and looking for other people on bicycles? Feel free. I'll pay for the overtime.
How about the spray paint?
Spray paint.
Yeah, spray paint the bike, or at least the front wheel a different color.
Or green or whatever. Yeah, because the most awful bikes.
Are the green ones the old Arcata green bikes?
I have no idea.
Oh, you didn't? That's right, because you didn't check. 10, 15 years ago, Arcata bought a whole slug of bicycles that were painted the hideous green.
Yeah. So that nobody would want them.
Exactly. and then they all just kind of disappeared. But every once in a while, I see a green wheel go by or a green and I'm just wondering. I mean, it's probably long enough now that it's not this.
No, these are mostly stolen bikes.
Okay.
So our guys are, you know, they're figuring out what they are going to do to reduce it. One of the things, for instance, that I would love to see and mention this is, if there's a burglary in your neighborhood, that we get a group of volunteers, hint, hint, hint out there, to go door to door in that neighborhood. They're making entry through the back window. Suspect is described as this.
It's happening
time of day, day of week. Just let everybody know, because that increases the awareness. And it also increases the calls to us. We can get people into the area quicker.
Now, in the past, it's been kind of fear-mongering.
Oh, yeah.
As a perception, rather than saying, this is what's going on in your neighborhood. We just want to let you know.
It's just an informational thing. So if I know that my neighborhood's getting burglarized, then I'm probably going to want to take some extra steps, make sure my doors and windows are locked, I go by houses while I'm walking around the city. I do it all the time, and I'll see side windows facing the street open 6 inches. Well, somebody's going to lift that the rest of the way and just crawl through the window.
With the big dog nose there?
No big dog there. That was the problem. Yeah, there's a big dog in the house, like you're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go to the house next door. Second thing we're doing is putting an officer in every neighborhood. And I know neighborhood here is
like
a little
the
bit
old
different term.
Concept?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, but it's going to be electronic neighborhood. So people will be able to email their officers and be able to say, here's what's going on in my neighborhood.
That means 30 seconds,
okay.
Not 3 seconds.
Well,
appreciate the attention, however.
It kind of dropped off the table here. So people will be able to notify their officer and say, hey, here's what's going on. We'll try to get back as quickly as we can, but people have to recognize that these are patrol officers. This is an additional duty.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Was that
really
a mark?
It is.
Okay.
We'll be back with more from Andy.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Andy, as you look at some of the different pressures now that exist that didn't, probably when you started the process of trying to identify what the community wants, I heard something over the weekend. I tried to remember the sources, and I can't. But they were talking about, I think it's New York City. Black on black, or black involved shootings, Latino involved shootings, and white involved shootings. And then there was a cross reference to the population percentages. But the Latino was like about 30%, the black was about 65%, white was 2%. Okay. So when you see some of these various aspects that are out there, and not to dismiss any of them. I mean, it's,
right? No, you're not.
It's, are we getting an accurate picture, or do we even want to get the accurate picture of what's going on with police-involved shootings or violence or these types of things that seem to be lead stories now?
Well, you know, I don't want to point everything at the drive-by media. Per se, but I think the focus has been wrong. And I think what's happening is policing has seen this problem coming for a long time and has been working to try to reduce the opportunity for some of these problems. And I say this in a bigger context of policing, not just individual departments. And so what you have is police agencies all over the country have gone to less lethal options. So like, for instance, a couple weeks ago, we beanbagged a guy. The first time it's been used in Humboldt County, who had, well, you know,
you better explain beanbagging, because yeah. I know most of us think of beanbags as these big floppy
things.
You know, and I can't imagine.
We have a cop running down the street, the big, big sofa over his head, you know, getting ready to throw it at somebody.
Not to be lippy about it, but I think most people think beanbag, and that's what we're thinking, or the thing you throw through the clown's face.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a extended range impact weapon is the technical term. And what it is, it's a 12-gauge shotgun that shoots a sock full of beans. And it hits the person from sometimes pretty good distances away to disarm them. So if you have a person with a knife or a club or a trowel or a stick or whatever, a brick, if you hit them with a beanbag, they're likely to drop that and say, okay, I don't want to go down this road. It's giving us the ability to reach out from a little bit of distance so there's a little bit of safety and be able to disarm people. So this was the first time it's been used. As far as I know, we're the only department up here that carries beanbag shotguns in the car. So with you,
oh, so it's a special rifle also.
It's a special shotgun.
Or tool.
Tool. Because so we have two shotguns in the car. One is bright orange. The other one is typical wood-looking shotgun because I don't want to make the mistake of pulling out the wrong one. And so guy with a knife attacked a couple of people over at, I think it was S in Harris. And then our officers got there, found him, got in a foot pursuit with him. He came at the officers with a knife. And from pretty close range, they beanbagged him three times. The third one, he decided that I've had enough and I'll drop the knife. The only other alternative you have is to shoot the person.
Well, a taser gun is kind of close, isn't it?
Well, a taser can go up to 21 feet away, but the further the distance, the barbs go different directions. So you may or may not get a good landing. You have to hit a person with both barbs because to conduct the electrical current. So the officers, deployed it at risk to themselves because the guy was so close with a knife. And we're able to subdue the guy. Amazing effort by our officers to do that. Here's a black male with a mental health problem getting beanbagged, safely taken into custody. So the police departments all over the country have been doing this and without recognition for years. Now you have an environment where any police shooting is now turning into a protest. So what do they want of the police? This is still, and the police have known this for years. We make arrests and we'll go back and look at the arrest on the body-worn cameras and say, wow, that was a pretty good fight. And people, the average person sees it and goes, holy cow, that was a very violent thing. I can't believe the police are doing that. Well, wait a second. The police don't want to do this. But someone is forced to be the public guardian of health. And so you have to sometimes use force to get people into custody. And sometimes you have to do things that look ugly, but there's no other way to do it. And these guys want to get this fight over as quickly as possible. So a lot of times they'll force people to the ground and pull arms behind them and so forth. And now the public is getting exposed to it and they're reacting, saying, well, we don't like this. Well, cops don't like it either, believe me. I've been injured significantly three times on duty, stitches to the back of my head, a broken wrist and a broken elbow, not to mention back problems and knees and hips and all. Of course, I'm old, that helps. But, so this is, part of the game. And unfortunately, officers get hurt on a regular basis.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, with some of the new challenges that are there, certainly the new technologies that are in place, the new training techniques, all those types of things, is being a cop what being a cop used to be?
No, it's not.
Is it different? And if so, how do you project out 5 to 10 years? What is going to be the skill set then that's required?
It's really interesting, the dynamics, and I don't think that if I was a brand new person looking for a police job today, they'd hire me, because these kids are young, they're smart.
You're coming up at the end of your contract, right? This is not a wise thing to stay.
They're young, they're smart, they're capable, they're mostly in great shape. They just view the world much differently than we do, So I'm really impressed with the quality. The other side of the coin, though, is they still have little life experience. I mean, you're 22, 23 years old. You're out there trying to take care of problems that the rest of the community can't take care of. So guy hyped up on meth, and the family calls us out of frustration. He's already been to Semper Virens numerous times, and they've rejected him. He's already been to personal counseling. That didn't work. He's been to drug addiction. That didn't work. And now he's armed with a weapon of some kind, and we're asking the police to come and resolve the issue that nobody else can. So here we're going to send a 23-year-old and a 28-year-old, you know, man and woman to deal with this problem that nobody else can deal with. And then we as a society wonder why sometimes these things go badly. Now, what we are doing, EPD, is trying to say, okay, we recognize these are difficult situations. So we're trying to give you the training and the tools necessary to bring this problem down to the lowest level, and hopefully everybody walks away. So we're teaching time, talk, and tactics. Slow things down. We don't have to rush into these things. We're talking about how to communicate with somebody that's delusional, if you can. And then the third one is the tactics. We want to make sure that they're safe. So if there's things that we can do to adjust their where they're standing, the kind of cover and concealment, the kind of weaponry that's available to them to de-escalate these things, then that makes a lot of sense to us.
Is that fine-tuning or is that significant change?
That's substantial change. And of course, then, you know, we talked about earlier during one of the breaks, everything comes down to budget. Well, how do you find the time for overtime to train these guys? Because we just can't take a whole division or, you know, whole department out of the field for a week to do this. How do you find time for the cost of the weapons and keep those up to date and keep people trained on them? How, you know, so that's kind of complex. If you're going to teach somebody these enhanced skill sets and expect them to do certain things, how do you compensate them for that? So it's a lot to unpack, but I think we're on a good path forward that will hopefully continue to keep these things at the lowest level possible.
Well, and then continue the training also.
Right.
Of course, you know, if you're in the field doing it, you're applying the skill set, so you're probably getting better and better as you go along.
You do get better and better, and you learn by watching other people, but here's the issue. You don't do it that much. It's like using Spanish every other month.
I thought you were going to say eating Spam. Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone else. See you then.